for tonight. I need a, let's see, Jonathan and Timothy, will you grab this altar and move it to the middle here for me tonight? Make sure you move that trash can, don't knock it over. You may have to pick trash up if you do that. Go ahead and move that to the center for us. Just excited about what God's been doing, how He's been moving, what He's been speaking. And I haven't got to preach in this church for a while. And things kind of moved around, and several Sundays have moved around. And the last place I actually got to preach was Catoosa Assembly. And so I'm excited about what God's been doing, though, and how He's been moving. And He's been speaking to our hearts, and He's preparing us. Seems like He's been preparing us for a while. And I know that sometimes that bugs me a little bit, because I like to be prepared now. I like to do things now. And if anybody knows me very well, they understand that I'm not a super patient person. And I'm patient with people. I'll tell you, I can be very patient with people. But when it comes time to get something done, let's get it done. That's how I approach things. But what I've discovered is that God's presence has been real. God's presence has been moving. God's been reaffirming to the church that He still operates in the same capacities He's always operated in. And I believe that we have enjoyed feeling the presence of God, enjoyed being a part of what God's doing, but it seems that He is buckling down on preparing the church. And how many's part of the church tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good, because that's a good group to be a part of, is the church. And but God's been preparing the church, and it seems that He's been kind of honing in on some details here these last several weeks, and Pastor really just kind of exhorted all over the top of what I was going to preach tonight. And so he did it in a nutshell. You guys might be singing, "I am determined to hold out to the end of the sermon tonight." So I'm going to try to be long-winded. Pastor said he tries to be short. And we don't generally end up being short. So if I say we're going to be long-winded, maybe we'll be short. I don't know. Somebody say amen. Turn it to Genesis chapter 22, verse 7. Find that portion of scripture, say amen. Genesis chapter 22, verse 7, it says, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" I want to jump to Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Amen. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you to God for the opportunity that we have to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for your spirit to God that's been moving. Lord, I thank you to God for the testimonies of the saints. Lord, I thank you to God for what you've been speaking to us, Lord, and how you've been working in us. Lord, and I pray to God you'll anoint your messenger tonight, Lord, to deliver this message, Lord, that you've laid on my heart. Lord, I pray to God you'll anoint me to God, help me to preach. And I pray to God you'll begin to meet us in these altars, Lord, and you'll continue to work your revival within our hearts. Lord, we give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated this evening. We find here in Genesis chapter 22 a very familiar portion of Scripture. And we know that God had told Abraham to take Isaac, his only son, and to go sacrifice him to the Lord. And this was a big test for Abraham, in which Abraham, as we know, and it's easy because you got the whole story in about, I don't know, it takes you 2 minutes to read through that. You know that God worked it out. But I'm not here to preach really about the story, but I want to to draw upon this statement that Isaac made. He made an observation as they were going up the mountain. And he observed that they had the wood, and he observed that they had the fire. But he said, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Or where is the sacrifice? And then we find in Romans 12 and 1, as Paul begins to write to the church, he says that ye are to present your bodies a living sacrifice. I just want to preach for a little bit this evening on a simple thought. Where is the sacrifice? Where is the sacrifice? As we begin to read in the Bible, we begin to find that since the fall of Adam, God has demanded a sacrifice from his people. In fact, as you begin to read the account, you begin to find that God actually offered the first sacrifice. And in so doing, he clothed Adam and Eve, and he set a precedent for them that there was going to be something required of mankind from now on. There had to be a sacrifice made to God for atonement, a sacrifice made for worship. Long before the law was ever given, Adam was instructed in the way which God desired to be worshipped and atonement made for mankind. A lot of times we jump straight to the law and we begin to see all the different sacrifices that was given. But all the way back up to Adam, there was a precedent set in which God said, I need a sacrifice. And he began to set that there was a certain animal to be brought for that sacrifice. And for a long time, all the way up to the law was given, it was always a lamb for a burnt offering. And we begin to find that as Adam began to pass this tradition down, he passed it down to Cain and Abel. And we know that story. We know that Abel brought an acceptable sacrifice unto the Lord. Cain also brought a sacrifice, but it wasn't what God required. And so God rejected Cain's sacrifice. And of course, we know the story. Cain got mad, killed his brother Abel. We had the first murderer, and thus began a habit of sin in which God said there has to be a sacrifice for you to get back in to my presence. And we begin to find that in order for God to bless his people, how many knows that God wants to bless you? God desires actually to be in your presence more than often than you desire to be in his. But we understand that in order for us to be in God's presence, there has to be an absence of what? Sin. And so in the Old Testament, for a man to be in God's presence and to experience God's blessing, he had to bring a sacrifice that cost him something. Do you know God doesn't give you anything for nothing? There's a thought process that's being preached, and it's called the prosperity gospel. And it's that, you know, if you ask it, or even if you demand it, God gives it. Well, there's a man in the Bible, his name was Jabez. This isn't in my notes, and this is going to cost me extra 5 minutes, but we're going to go there. And Jabez called to God, and he said, God, enlarge my borders and bless me. And there was a book written, The Prayer of Jabez, Prosperity. What you begin to find as you begin to read about Jabez is Jabez first went to God, and he sacrificed, and he aligned himself in God's will. And then he said, God, enlarge me. God has always demanded a sacrifice. In order to be blessed, there had to be service. There had to be sacrifice. In order to be in his presence, there had to be a sacrifice. And so all through the Old Testament, we begin to see that there was a process, and he gave the instructions to Moses, and Moses built the tabernacle, and they came and they sacrificed to God, and God's presence dwelt there. Later on, Solomon built the temple. They sacrificed, and God's presence dwelt there. And you begin to read all through the Old Testament, in which if you begin to find that famous scripture, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. lambs. All through the Old Testament, there was sacrifice that was given in order to gain an audience with God and to gain God's blessing. But something began to happen between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there was somebody that was introduced whose name was Jesus Christ. And we begin to find that His purpose in coming was to fulfill the Old Testament, in which that old covenant of continually bringing a sacrifice to the temple to make atonement, to be in God's presence, He fulfilled that. He died. He was the ultimate sacrifice. And so the old covenant, the Old Testament, was fulfilled and something new was born. Now, we call that the new covenant, in which everything that had been of the Old Testament and the law, which was a type and a figure, was now fulfilled in Christ in a new covenant. And Paul begins to discuss this in detail in Romans about the old passing out and the new coming in and the fulfillment. But what I begin to find is even in all of this, there was still a sacrifice needed. He said, well, Brother Jason, the old covenant's gone. We don't sacrifice no more. Well, we don't sacrifice animals. I'm going to say this right here and right now. I'm glad we don't have to sacrifice animals. Can you imagine your job as pastor? Boy, we sacrificed 80 lambs this morning for Sunday morning service. We're feeling great and refreshed after being at the house of God. I'm glad we don't have to do that anymore. But what I begin to find is that as Paul begins to discuss the departing of the old and the coming of the new, he begins to introduce a new thought process about the sacrifice. And we find that in Romans 12 and 1. And he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. How in the world do you present yourself a living sacrifice? I'm pretty sure that when Paul began to introduce this thought to the Jews of Rome, they were scratching their head just a little bit. But he began to explain to them the importance of the sacrifice. Now, fast forward to today. The sacrifice is no longer a popular discussion. When's the last time you seen a mainline book about being a living sacrifice or being a sacrifice or sacrificing in general? It's not a popular discussion any longer. In fact, it's not even something that's really preached a whole lot in detail about the sacrifice. There's a lot preached about giving yourself and surrendering yourself to God. There's a lot preached about getting in God's presence. There's a lot preached about aligning yourself with God, and so His blessings will come on you. But let me tell you something. I'm going to get a little detailed tonight, because sacrifice is critical for revival. Sacrifice is critical in your walk with God. Sacrifice is very important if you desire to be what God wants you to be. And so today we find it's no longer a popular discussion. And oftentimes when sacrifice is presented, it's misrepresented and it's misinterpreted. Bear with me for a little bit tonight. This is not a purse. This is a school bag. Looks like part of my overalls or something from somewhere along the way. Oftentimes today when sacrifice is preached, sacrifice involves objects. We preach a lot of giving up. We preach a lot of laying it on the altar. We preach a lot of, well, we're going to sacrifice this for God. And a lot of times, this is how sacrifice is presented. But what I come to tell you tonight, is, while this is all good, this isn't sacrifice. But many times we get excited when we come to the altar and God begins to deal with us about something in our life. And we use a phrase like, I'm going to sacrifice this for God. And we come down to the altar and we begin to lay something on the altar that we feel that God is dealing with us in our heart about. And thus we sacrifice what God's dealing with us about. And sometimes God calls us to the altar and He asks us to lay aside pride. And when you come to the altar and you humble yourself and you lay your pride on the altar, you have an experience with God in which God comes in and He fills you, and you feel good about what you just laid on the altar. And thus we sacrificed our pride and put it on the altar. Well, I want to tell you something. I'm just about as happy as anybody when somebody lays something on the altar and they sacrifice and they give it to God. Sometimes He deals with this in our heart about bitterness. And He says, I want your bitterness. And so we come to the altar and we sacrifice our bitterness. We lay it on the altar. We give it to God. We say, God, here's the bitterness. This is what you've been dealing with me in my heart about. This is what I'm giving to you. And once again, we have a great experience with God, which God moves on us because He asked something and we gave it. Anytime you give something that God asks, He's going to meet you and He's going to touch you. Oh boy, this is a good one. How many, don't raise your hand, just think about this. How many's looked at your Christian walk and you said, yeah, I really need to tighten the bolts down. I really need to read my Bible. I need to attend church a little bit more often. And God begins to deal with you about your slothfulness in your Christian walk. And we know God's been dealing with us about a greater dedication. I put it this way. When I look at my business and say, we got to tighten the bolts up because it's getting a little loose. You know, things are kind of shaking. Things are a little rattling. You know what happens if you don't tighten the bolts up on something and you let it stay loose? It falls apart. It flies apart. And so God begins to deal with this in our heart. And we understand God saying, hey, you know, we need to be at 6 o'clock prayer meeting. Hey, you know, we need to read more of our Bible. Hey, we need to do this. We need to do that. And God begins to deal and He pulls us to an altar. And we sacrifice our time on an altar. And we understand we need to shape some things up. And we pull ourselves together. And we renew our commitments to God. We renew our dedications to God. And we put our slothfulness on the altar. We say, God, forgive me. And He meets us, and He does a work in us, and we're excited, and we feel like we're revived, and we know that we're ready to go charge hell with a water pistol. Because God met us, because once again, we gave something that He asked of us. Oh boy, I'm going to meddle now. I'm not preaching against VeggieTales. I'm illustrating a point here. Used to be a time when we preached against movies you shouldn't watch. Let me tell you something. There's still movies you shouldn't watch. I remember a point in time when we had a revival with Brother Bob Goodwin. And we had a burn barrel. And a lot of people came and they threw a lot of stuff in that burn barrel. There was DVDs that went in. There was CDs that went in. Those that don't know what a CD is, it was music. They threw CDs in there. They threw magazines in there. I mean, they cleaned house. And they came and God was dealing with them about some secret things that they had. And they came and they threw it on an altar. And they said, I know I don't need to do that. And they gave it up. And God met them. And they were on fire and they had an experience with God. Let me tell you something. God doesn't want you watching filth. Ooh, pocketbook. God deals with us about our pocketbook. He knows when you haven't been paying your tithes. He knows when you've been holding back on what's His. Sometimes He deals in your heart to give a little extra to missions. Or maybe to buy two or three chairs more than your own. And God begins to deal in some things for us to take some steps. What I have found about the pocketbook is this seems to be the most hardest thing to give of all. Let me tell you something. God likes it when you give in your pocketbook and you sacrifice and you give. But if you don't give cheerfully, God will not bless it. But let me tell you something. When God begins to do in your heart about pulling a few more than George Washington's, maybe a couple bins out of there and giving it, I tell you from experience that when God tells you to give something and you give it, He meets you and does something in your heart, and boy, you feel good and you feel grand and you feel revived. Last thing I'm going to meddle with. The cell phone doesn't even work anymore. Well, it still works, but it's my old one. Let me tell you something. This right here is one of the most valuable pieces of technology you own. You thought it was going to blast cell phones, didn't you? Everybody's getting it. Yeah. Boy, it's going to blast them cell phones. I'll tell you this. You have to have one of these in order to function today. How many saw his landline? We got two. How many knows what a landline is? Okay. Sister Betty has one. We got a few that know what a landline is. Honestly, though, this is valuable. It's handy. If you work, more than likely this connects you to your job. Now, Brother Rick, he's one of the only people I know that isn't that connected to one of these. And sometimes I wish he was. There have been times I've tried to get a hold of you, and he was not connected. But in so saying this, this is also one of the most unsanctified things that you can own. God knows what apps you have on that phone. God knows what you've been looking at on that phone. And God begins to deal in our hearts to sanctify your phone. And I've seen people come up and I've seen them put that phone on an altar. And you know what that signifies to me? That they're giving something to God. There was something there that was causing a problem, and they decided that they were going to get it underneath the blood. And you know what? It makes me happy, Sister Donna, to see somebody sanctifying that phone. Maybe they go home and they delete some apps that they don't need on that phone anymore. They clean some things up. They begin to clean their lives up. And we get all excited and we get all happy, and we know that we've been doing something that God's laid on our heart to do. And once again, God meets us. Maybe He fills us fresh and anew with the Holy Ghost. Maybe we cry a little bit. Maybe we shout some. And we know that we've been in the presence of God. We know that we've given something. But here's where I want to preach about the sacrifice and how we often misinterpret this. When you put this stuff on the altar, how many times do you find yourself picking it back up? And you pick it back up. And you come back to church and you start at ground zero. There's nothing the devil wants more than for the church to be consumed with ground zero. Because if you're always at ground zero, guess what's happening? Nothing. Maybe you make it your life's goal to be a ground zero. Now, let me tell you something. My life's goal is not to be a ground zero, Brother Larry. I want to go to new heights. deeper depths, something greater, something bigger. But yet I begin to find that as we begin to sacrifice these things, and we feel like we've made a great sacrifice because we've laid it on the altar. But then all of a sudden we begin to find that it's crept back in, and we've picked it back up. And once again, God's Spirit moves like He's been moving. And He begins to talk to us about the same things He's always been talking to us about. And all of a sudden we realize that it's crept back in, and we have a hold of it again. God, help me preach. And I begin to find that we're missing what the sacrifice is, because God's not concerned about your money. God's not concerned about your phone. God's not concerned about your pride. God's not concerned about your bitterness. God's not concerned about anything that I put here, because what He's really after is you. And the one thing that never gets put on the altar of sacrifice is me. We get up here, we lay it down, we set it down. God deals in us. We shout, we holler, we hoop, and we know we did something, but we never sacrifice me. Hallelujah. We preach sacrifice all wrong. God's not concerned about what you laid down if you didn't lay you down. And if there's anything that the Spirit of God's been hammering in the last 3 weeks, it ain't been shouting services. I don't know if you clued in on that. It's been some soul-searching services. There's been some very pointed messages in tongues. Because the church that is constantly sacrificing and picking up is not being the church that God called it to be. But the reason that we're constantly setting down and picking it up is because we haven't dealt with the problem. Let me tell you something. If you're struggling with pride and you keep struggling, clue in just a little bit. Because if you're struggling, you ain't giving you to God. Because what I tell you is, when you give you to God, something changes. God desires you. As Isaac came up, he said, "We have all the makings for the perfect sacrifice." Church, we have all the makings for the perfect sacrifice. But Isaac made an observation, and he said, "Where is the sacrifice?" I want to ask you this evening, where is the sacrifice? If you're sitting there and you're counting all the things that you've given to God, you haven't sacrificed you yet. God's looking for you. I want to share something here about what happens when you make the acceptable sacrifice. He said, "Wow, we made full circle." If you haven't clued in, the Old Testament was a lamb. The New Testament is you. You are the acceptable sacrifice now. That's the part that may change a little bit, but the process has stayed the same. God's not asking for you to just meet a whole list of rules and regulations and count all the things that you've laid down. He's looking for you. You are the only acceptable sacrifice. In 2 Chronicles 7:1, though, we begin to find a story of what happens when an acceptable sacrifice is given. It says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, 'For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever.'" when you offer God the acceptable sacrifice. If you thought you got happy when you laid something down, when you lay yourself on that altar, you have an experience that will transcend anything that you've ever experienced before. And now let me tell you something else. Is that just because you've surrendered yourself at one point in time in your life does not mean that you don't crawl back on the altar and you sacrifice yourself again. Because there's times in which I begin to find that I get consumed with things that are around me. I get consumed with fighting the devil. I get consumed with fighting things. And I get stressed and I get clouded and my mind sometimes gets cluttered. And before I realize it, I'm doing this thing all wrong. I'm fighting, but I'm not winning. I'm trying to overcome, but I'm struggling. And I find that I'm trying to lay things down. And then all of a sudden I find I'm picking them back up. And I realize I've got to step back and think about what I'm doing wrong, because I'm not making any progress. I'm not making any victories. I'm not doing anything for God. It seems that everything that I do is consumed in a struggle. But let me tell you something. It's because I haven't been giving Him the acceptable sacrifice. And as He begins to come and He begins to knock on my heart's door and He says, Brother Jason, you have been doing it all wrong. You need to climb on that altar instead of counting what you've put on that altar. And when I climb on that altar, I begin to find that His power comes down and consumes me in such a way that I haven't felt in a long time. Sometimes that makes me run around the church. Sometimes that makes me shout in a corner. There's times where I come out Monday morning and I'm singing the hallelujahs because I understand that I've put myself on that altar and the fire of God has fell because He's happy with what He sees and He desires to give His blessing in full effect. As Solomon prayed, oh, I wish I could have been there that day. That day wasn't about the temple. It wasn't about Solomon. It wasn't about Israel. It wasn't about all the priests. The only thing that it was about that day was they had done the acceptable thing. And when Solomon made an end of praying, God approved of the proceedings with fire. Let me tell you, so you ever wonder why Pentecostals preach about fire? It's because fire is the ultimate approval of God. Let me tell you something else. There's a man by the name of Elijah who was in the middle of a whole bunch of heathens, and there was nothing but secular things going on that day. But Elijah said, I choose to make an acceptable sacrifice in the middle of all these heathen. What happened that day? Fire. It consumed the altar. It consumed the sacrifice. It didn't consume the altar, but it consumed the sacrifice and all the water that they poured on it. Why did the fire fall? Because they offered the acceptable sacrifice. I find that Gideon, when he was called and he didn't feel like he was prepared for the task that the angel was asking him to do, he said, give me a sign. And in this instance, the angel told him to go prepare a meal. And Gideon went and prepared it, brought it back, and fire came out of the rock and consumed the offering. Are you catching a pattern here? That when you give God the acceptable sacrifice, the fire falls. He said, well, I haven't been feeling too on fire. Well, let me tell you something. Climb on that altar. Go ahead and give Him you, and you will feel the fire. Now, I find in Acts chapter 2 that they went and they tarried like they were supposed to. And at the end of tarrying, the Holy Ghost came in and fire fell and set on each of their heads. Why did the fire fall? Because they did what they were asked to do. What I begin to find here is that if you want to have the fire of God burning in your life, you want the victory over the things that you struggle with, you want the power to stay clean, you want the power to leave those things on that altar, I challenge you tonight, take off what you put there and place yourself on that altar, because that is the acceptable sacrifice unto God. Sister Lindsay, come back to the piano, please. When the fire falls and God overwhelms you with His Spirit, you know that your sacrifice has been acceptable. There's nothing that irks me more than somebody telling me something's unacceptable. There's something about that word, unacceptable, that could tell me that my work's horrendous and it wouldn't prick me like they tell me my work is unacceptable. There's a finality to unacceptable. Why do you think Cain got so mad? Because God said your sacrifice was unacceptable. But there's nothing more powerful than when somebody tells you that it is acceptable. There's nothing God desires more than to look at your life and tell you you're acceptable. There's nothing held back. There's nothing I'm hiding. I gave it all to you. Because what happens is when you place yourself on this altar and you begin to live your life as a living sacrifice, it's not a struggle, church, to give up the things that He deals in your heart about. It's only a struggle when you're trying to place the things and leave them there without you. You know what you're doing when you leave it there without you? You're still trying to do it on your own. That's why you keep picking it back up. Because, bless my heart, but pride's a part of me. No matter how much I try to separate it from myself, it's still a part of me. But when I get on the altar, what's on the altar? Pride's on the altar. I hope you're getting this, church. Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Pastor covered that this morning. When you get on the altar and you die daily, pride stays there. Bitterness stays there. Slothfulness stays there. That phone stays sanctified. Those movies you used to watch, you don't want to watch them no more. Those things you used to do in secret, you don't want to do them no more. Let me tell you something. Just because mom and dad can't see you, just because husband or wife can't see you, doesn't mean that God doesn't see you. And when you begin to get the realization that God's watching you, and honestly, His is the only opinion that matters, sometimes we begin to get a little bit more realistic and understand that God's looking for an acceptable sacrifice. And He's looking for you. Stand across this building. There's people in this building that you're struggling with things. You've been wrestling, you've been fighting. devil's coming against you. Many times it's not the devil. We're just fighting our own flesh. And what God's desiring to do in this church is to make us a place of habitation for people who haven't put it all on the altar yet. But you can't help that person until you're willing to get on the altar yourself. And what God's been talking to us about in these last several services is it's time to quit looking at sacrifice like it's something we give of something we have. Begin to understand that sacrifice involves me on an altar. All that I am, all that I'm not. All my baggage, things I deal with, things I struggle with. Sometimes we get the mindset that we've got to clean ourselves up before we come to God. God's not interested in that. The only thing God's interested in is you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you would say, Brother Jason, God's been dealing with me about some things in my life. But I've been in that constant battle of laying them down and picking them up. I'm trying to overcome and I'm trying to do what's right, but I'm finding that it's a struggle that I just can't win. Maybe you say, Brother Jason, tonight I understand now that it's not about what I give to God. It's about me giving me to God. If that's you, I want you to find your place in these altars. Brother Timothy, Brother Jonathan, will you come move this altar back over there? Maybe you say, Brother Jason, I desire for the fire to fall like it's never fell on me before. I desire for my life to be acceptable to God. Make your way to this altar. Church, God wants to do it. There's nothing wrong with struggling. There's nothing wrong with fighting. There's nothing wrong with admitting that I need to be found acceptable to God. Because I want to tell you, church, God desires to pour His Spirit out in such a way that you've never seen it before. He desires to move in your heart and in your life in a way that He's never moved before. He wants to take us to places that we've only dreamed about going to. He wants to do a work in you that even in your wildest imaginations you couldn't dream of. But let me tell you something. It starts with you crawling on an altar and realizing it's time to quit looking around for where the sacrifice is. And understand that I am the sacrifice. I am the answer to my own problem. I am the answer to my own dilemma. God's asking me to give me up. He said, God, I'm not sure I can. Well, let me tell you something. He's interested in taking the little you've got and make it into a lot for Him. Church, let God search your heart. I know it's not a shouting service, but let me tell you something. God's here to do the deep work. God's here to begin to draw out the things that are deep down inside of us. Because in order for us to be full of His Spirit and His Holy Ghost, we've got to become the acceptable sacrifice.